Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope for this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit.
I said, motherfucker, you motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
It is Wednesday, January 21st, 2015. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, Jake Amaris, as always. Gonna be a pretty quick one tonight. Probably, you know, go in like an hour or so. You know, got a few things to rant about. So I was looking for more topics online. Anytime anybody's got something they just want to hear a random other person's opinion on, or they just want to hear me go off on, I can throw the topics at me. I got no problem with covering whatever. And if I don't got a lot on it, then I'll go short on it. But, you know, do what I can. And I'm always up for random situations to talk about or random topics. So, you know, like I said, throw them up there anytime or hit me up privately or whatever the case is. But, yeah, I don't know. A little bit of a headache now. Not too bad. Yesterday I caught it fucking bad. I don't know if it was the pre-workout deal or, you know, or what it was. I've been going crazy in the fucking gym lately. I've been really doing my thing and, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing because this race year is going to be absolutely fucking crazy. And, you know, I just, like, I train as if I'm not ready, if I'm not even remotely close to ready. If I have, like, miles and miles to go, but every time I show up to a race, I'm more ready than most, you know what I mean? So that's how I always train. I always train like, man, fucking, I got a long way to go type shit. So, you know, I've been, like I said, I've been doing my thing. I got that new pre-workout that I've been using, that Bull Knox. And, you know, I started it off cautious, used it, you know, one scoop as directed, blah, blah, blah. They tell you don't exceed the thing, but they all say that. So, as always, I'm up to the fucking three scoops like I was with C4 or anything else, as they tell you not to do. And, fuck, man, it's intense. It's absolutely intense. and it definitely pulls some, like, you know, middle to late workout strength out of you that'll surprise you and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it really does. Like I said, that early jolt, that kind of like speedy kind of feeling that, you know, you get off of the whole bunch of C4 or a lot of the other pre-workouts, you don't get as much of that. But I really do think with this stuff, you get more like actual late workout strength where you're like, you know, you hit your stride and you start to hit a lot bigger numbers and shit than you know, you're used to. On Monday, I hit, they got, you know, the two-arm curl machine, you know, with the plates and, you know, you grab the handles. It's kind of like preacher curls because they got the pad you put your arms on, grab the handles and shit and do your curls that way. For the first time, I had fucking, the full rack, which is 200 pounds, and I did, I think five or six of that shit. So, I mean, that, like that, I was right towards the end of my workout. That was Monday. I was hyped as a motherfucker, man, because I never hit that high on that shit. And, you know, I can't do that same number with free weights or anything like that, but either way you look at it, moving that type of weight attached to a fucking machine or not makes you feel good. You know, I don't give a fuck what you attach it to. Half of the people in the gym couldn't move that shit. So I'm happy about it, you know. You know, the thing is because, you know, I did my other stuff. I was doing a bunch of other things. And when I got over to that, I put it at 170. And, you know, went in and just started curling and had to look over, like, did I put that shit up at 170? Because it shit was moving easy. I was like, oh. So rather than go up the next jump, which is 185, I said, fuck it. Let me just skip right up. After I did 10 with the 170, I was like, yo, let me just go right up to the 200, you know, switch tracks on my fucking iPhone, you know, get a new track on, get hype, zone out, and fucking just went in on that shit and hit it. You know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, work, but a lot easier than I thought, you know what I mean? Because I never hit that shit for one, and then I was repping it, you know what I mean? So I was very, very happy about that. But anyway, so Tuesday, I went in there yesterday, and what happened was normally within, like, the last half hour, 40 minutes of work, I'll put in my pre-workout. You know what I mean? I put a pre-workout in the cup, and then I just kind of sip off it for the next, you know, half hour to 40 minutes before I'm out of work. Because I go, you know, right to the gym from work. And it just seems to work out well that way where it hits me right. And because a lot of that shit, man, you really go in with it and it can rock your stomach pretty heavy. Because, I mean, you're putting in pretty intense stuff. It gets you a little jittery, gets you a little going. And then you go and you put out, you know, much more strenuous effort. You go in and you really try to go intense and push yourself, push your body harder than you do the rest of the day. I mean, that's a real easy way to throw some shit up. You know what I mean? So with me, I've always been like careful about it, not in dosage, but in you know, the way I take it in, you know what I mean? So usually it's, like I said, like a half hour, 40 minutes or so that I start sipping on that shit. And then I have, you know, that half hour, 40 minutes, and then plus the trip to the gym. So, I mean, I might actually start intaking the pre-workout an hour before I'm working out. But either way you look at it, it works out really well for me that way. So I had gotten caught up with something. I had mixed it. I took, like, a sip off it. But then I got caught up in a bunch of stuff. So then it was, like, 10 minutes at the end of the day, and I pretty much downed the rest of it, which was, like, the majority of the shit with fucking three scoops in it. So, you know, I got more of a rush and shit than usual. I didn't feel sick. You know what I mean? I really didn't. And when I got in the gym, it felt a little hotter than usual. And, I mean, people was walking around there sweating like a motherfucker, so I didn't know, I still don't know, whether it was hotter than usual in the gym or whether, you know, if it was me, if it was my body or if it was the actual temp in there. But, I was like, all right, I did some you know, that, like, half ball thing. There's, like, a platform, you know, with that exercise ball. So I did, like, some squats with a 45 plate on that. And just to warm up and did some stretching. And then I went and I grabbed the barbell with 100 pounds, the 100-pound barbell, and I started doing trips up and down the stairs. And normally, I do, like, a set of five staircase. You know, it's, like, I don't know, 20 steps or whatever it is. So I go up there, you know, do the, you know, five up, five down. And, you know, that'll give you a good, you know, get your fucking heart moving and shit. And so then I put the thing down. I'm getting hot as fuck already. And I'm like, man, this is, my head started to feel a little fucked up, but not too bad. So I just took my little rest, threw shit back on my shoulders, went back up and down, did another three. And after this three, I was like, fuck, man, my head's just pounding. And I was just sweating like a motherfucker. I was overheating like crazy. So I'm like, man, this shit isn't good. And it wasn't going away. Like, during my rest period, it was like, this shit is intense. So I was like, all right, put shit back on my shoulders, did another two. And normally, like, I do three sets of five, you know, up and down the stairs, you know, rests in between, but, like, five trips up the stairs, rest, five trips up and down the stairs, rest, five trips up and down the stairs, and then call it a day. And like I said, the second set, I had to break up into two parts, and then still, it was just like, this shit is fucking pounding. So I went, you know, brought the shit back downstairs and, you know, put the shit away. And then I was like, fuck, man, what do I do? Because too strenuous, you know what I mean? Like, anything I'm putting my effort into is just killing my fucking head, and I'm hot as hell in here. So I ended up just doing the fucking bike and shit for a couple miles, which pissed me off because I just, that's not what I planned on doing. I haven't really gone on the bike or any shit in a long time. So I just figured, fuck it, it's better than nothing. And, you know, it was. But, back at it tomorrow. I was going to go back tonight, and I didn't get enough sleep last night, and my fucking head was still killing me today, and I just feel like if I get proper sleep tonight, I can go back in correctly tomorrow and shit, because you run on half empty or, you know, half, you know, sleep and shit like this, it fucks your whole shit up. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of other people do it, and they do just fine, but it is what it is. You got to find what works for you. The other day, man, I think this was maybe Monday, or maybe it was last Friday when I was at the gym, but these motherfuckers, man, I get so tired of going in there, and, I mean, I put out fucking work, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely, I definitely put myself through some shit when I'm at the gym, you know what I mean? Like, I go there to fucking put it on, you know? And I'm not really, you know, going there to compete with anybody or outdo anybody, but I'm going there to challenge myself. I'm going there to push myself to make some motherfucking progress. Every time I'm in there, I want to make some kind of progress. I want results, and you don't get results out of doing fucking nothing. So I went, you know, I always go in there with that mentality. And I don't, you know, I don't have any workout partner or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just don't, you know what I mean? So it's me, and I zone out, and I really don't give a fuck what's going on around me, but, you know, a lot of these people, they kind of filter into, you know, your vision, you know what I mean? Because they're just around, just not doing shit, and it drives me fucking nuts, man. So I'm doing abs, yeah, I think this was Friday, something like that, and, doing abs and doing, like, crunches with, like, the 45 plate or whatever. And I look up, and these three motherfuckers are doing walking lunges and shit with a 75-pound barbell. And there's three of those motherfuckers. And they're, like, shooting looks around like they're tough guys and shit. But it's three motherfuckers and one barbell. And they're doing, like, a little walk lunge joint. Like, whatever, six steps, something like that, turn around, six steps back. And they're watching each other like as motherfuckers watching the Victoria's Secret motherfucking runway show. They're watching each other and then handing the ball off, and then now the other two dudes are watching the next motherfucker.
And it's like, first off, what the fuck y'all need all this rest? Do you need three motherfuckers to rotate this little bullshit you're doing? And why are you not embarrassed? You know what I mean, not even like weight wise or anything, but the fact that you got to make this a 3-person operation and still have the balls to look around like motherfuckers should be impressed with you, or you got some kind of toughness to you to be looking around at people like that. I don't know, man. It's just certain looks on people. Like, I'm not trying to fucking stare people down in the gym, and half the motherfuckers who are got no reason to be staring at fucking nobody. Then I look over, got another motherfucker. Now, this dude, he's there all the time with his chick. This chick is built like a stop sign. Her head's bigger than everything else on her body, so like a stick. And this dude walks around like he's trying to protect her and shit, like everybody wants it. Nobody wants this bitch. And she's over here trying to do some kind of shit. She's doing like tricep pull downs or some kind of crazy shit that I don't even know what she's doing. This dude's sitting down on the fucking one of them ab benches and shit behind her, more or less, and just sitting there with his fucking elbows on his knees like he's an old man feeding pigeons at the fucking park, and just looking around trying to stare, grill people and shit, because his girl is putting in more work than he is, and she ain't doing shit neither. He's just like, man, you just got to shake your head. But, I mean, shit like that also motivates you, because you look and you're just like, this is what these motherfuckers paid to do. This is the epitome of what they do. So when they leave here, they get to tell everybody, I just came from the gym and shit. And they're right. I mean, they were there. But what they're there for and what I'm there for is two completely different things. They might as well be stocking a fucking soda machine or cleaning the bathroom floor or some shit, because it don't make no motherfucking sense as far as the work that they're putting in there for what they're paying for. I just don't understand. But, it is what it is, I guess, to each their own. On the race front, I noticed that Tough Mudder is adding new obstacles. And they've been, they do this yearly. They try to spice it up. They try to, give you a bunch of different things to play with and shit, because they want to make it unique. And they want to always make their shit different and push the limits, so to speak. So they're adding a pegboard type situation, which I'm pretty interested, because I've never used a pegboard, but I have a feeling I'll be pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at climbing shit, so, and, things that involve climbing and things of that nature, I feel pretty confident about. So they got like a pegboard thing. They got another like a ring situation, which is kind of like a pegboard, but you're holding rings and there's pegs sticking out. You know what I'm saying? So you got to put the ring on the pegs to get yourself around where you're going to go, which sounds, sounds doable, for me. Definitely challenging, because I've never done no shit like that before, but definitely up to challenge it. The other thing that stands out that a lot of people are going to be paying a lot of attention to is fucking tear gas. They have an obstacle that involves tear gas. They have kind of like a tarped off tunnel. And, it's like plastic over, wood, whatever, 2x4s or whatever. And you got to crawl under the plastic and then crawl under this thing. I think they got like a log or two in there that you're going to have to crawl over, so it's not just a straight shot. And in that plastic, there's like tear gas. So this is like some new shit. So I'm actually pretty excited, because that's another one of those things that you just mentioned and people go, what the fuck? And I'm interested in seeing what that's all about. You know what I mean? Because fuck it. Why not? There's another thing, I forget what the fuck they call it. They call it like the birth canal or some shit like this. And that looks like something else too, because it's like this big plastic liner type thing full of liquid, water, whatever. I think they dye it red or some shit. And you got to crawl underneath that. So this water, you know, that's sitting on top of this plastic is pushing down towards the ground. So, like, the claustrophobia and shit is going to be on fucking high alert. And I got some of that, you know. I got some claustrophobia, and going into these races when I initially started, I was worried about that shit. And truth be told, I haven't had any problems with it yet, you know. Like I said, I was worried going into a lot of these little tunnel this, tunnel that, but I've always had enough room. And I'm not, like, a real big dude, so I have a feeling that, like, some of the dudes are big as fuck. If they can get through it, I can weasel my way through it, especially, you know, trying to get through it with some sense of urgency because I ain't down with it. So far, so good. I think this one is going to be the biggest push of that, you know, push of those limits to date. You know what I mean? If big fat motherfuckers ain't getting stuck in it, then I think I'm going to slide right through there. So, you know, some exciting things to, you know, coming up on that front. Fucking football. So we had, you know, the two championship games, AFC Championship, NFC Championship. First up, the NFC Championship game was the fucking Seahawks and the Packers. The Seahawks were down 16-0 going into the second half. Looked great, you know, they were shut out going, you know, first half shut out, Russell Wilson threw three picks, but you had to worry because the Packers were playing like pussies from the start. The Packers within the first quarter were down there on the goal line, like we're talking 1 yard line, and settled for field goals on both times. Now, you got to figure, man, that's some pussy shit because I know, you know, you're siding with the points, putting up points, but, you know, you did this, you got all the way down there, and one came off an interception type shit, you know, so field position was handed to you, you know, and go for it. You're on the one, it's the first quarter. I know it's early, you want to be conservative, whatever, but the first quarter, you're on the one. You go for it, and you don't make it. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks have to go 99 yards for a fucking touchdown. And if you got any confidence in your defense at all, you can turn them out to a safety. You get a turnover down there. Even fucking better. Even if they go three and out or some shit, you're going to get great field position off of that punt. Why would you not go for it? You gotta fucking bury these motherfuckers when they're giving you the chance to. And they didn't, man. They played pussy. So they went into the half dominating, but really still only up two touchdowns with 2-point conversions. 16-0. Fucking nothing. You know what I mean? So what happens? They get down to the fucking end of the game. They go into prevent defense, which just allows any quarterback in the league to chip all the way upfield like they're fucking Joe Montana. Just fucking chip, 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 all the way upfield, boom, touchdown. Chip, 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 all the way upfield, touchdown. And it's just like, you erase a lead in no time. No time at all. You just look and you're like, oh, shit, look at the fucking score. Jesus Christ. And they climbed right back in there and they took the fucking game. And you know, the Packers gave them the fucking game. I don't understand where the Seahawks fans and the Seahawks bandwagon fans and just the dick riding fans, the fucking Philly fans, the Giant fans, the Cowboy fans, all these fucking fans of bullshit teams that want to talk shit and run their fucking bitch-ass mouths want to pretend like the Seattle Seahawks are some unbeatable machine. These motherfuckers were shut out in the first fucking half. And if it wasn't for the other team playing pussy, they would have been down way more. Way more. Given the, you know, goal line to the fucking other team two times in the first quarter. Throwing three picks in the first half. And, I mean, you got guys like Lyle. I mean, I love Lyle. That's a good dude there. You know, a photographer for CZW and, you know, many other indies over here and stuff. But the game ended and he wrote something on Facebook talking about, I had said a while ago that Russell Wilson was elite status at quarterback. I guess my point's being proven or something like that. And I'm like, come on, man. I understand that, you know what I mean? Like, you're on this dude's shit right now, but this dude threw 3 interceptions in the first fucking half. Scored no points against the fucking opposition in the first half of the fucking game. You can't be an elite quarterback on that shit. The fact that they played prevent defense and allowed him to chip all the way upfield like anybody fucking can do against a prevent defense. You know what I mean? Like, and I've said, you know, all year, Russell Wilson has been a genius at fucking extending plays. That dude, if they had another quarterback back there, I know Marshawn Lynch is just a huge, crucial part of their offense, but it doesn't matter. I really don't think it matters. If they had anybody else at quarterback back there, for the most part, they would have been sacked constantly. The Seattle Seahawks would have not made it to where they are right now without Russell Wilson extending plays, keeping his fucking eyes downfield, you know, making plays in the backfield with his legs and still using his arm to get the ball to somebody, you know, giving him all sorts of time to get open while he moved out of the way of defenders. And he's done such a great job at doing that. That's what he's really good at. As far as like an elite quarterback type thing, in a game that he threw fucking 4 picks in, get out of here, dude. That shit is, do not put that on his head. You know, I mean, it really came down to the Packers playing like shit. And you know, look at the round before that. They played the 7-win fucking Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers had 7 motherfucking wins in the season, and they went to the playoffs because that whole division was garbage. They went into the fucking half only leading the Carolina Panthers 14-10. So you tell me what goes on when the fucking New England Patriots, if the New England Patriots go in there and play Patriot ball like they put on the fucking the Colts, you tell me what's going to happen to that fucking Seahawk, quote-unquote, fucking badass Seahawk defense when fucking Tom Brady comes up and down that fucking field. There ain't going to be no 16-0 at the fucking half. If they're shutting out the fucking the Seahawks at the half, it's going to be a bigger number than that shit. And Tom Brady's not just going to collapse in the fucking fourth and allow that bullshit. You watch. Now, coming into the fucking night game, the absolutely stomped the fucking Colts. Now, I'm not even going to go any further into that game other than that. However, the backlash coming off of that game is this deflate gate, all that bullshit. The balls were deflated and da-da-da-da-da. See, this is the shit that I hate, man. I'm so tired of the pussification of America and people as it applies to entertainment. Whether it be comedians being fucking censored because they can't stand what a motherfucker's saying. Oh, I don't like that. What he said, it kind of hits a nerve, so I'm offended. You know, fuck that guy. We should all stand up against that guy. Oh, LeBron's winning. Basketball must be fixed because we don't like LeBron. So every time he wins, you know what? The refs are on his side. That's what it is. The refs want LeBron to win. Well, LeBron isn't winning as much now, so I guess the NBA is not fixed anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess now that LeBron isn't, you know, number one in the league anymore, I guess the NBA is no longer fixed, right? Is that what we go with? Because, you know, it amazes me, you know, what these people do. And look at it, you know, let's be fucking 100% honest. Now, just to sidetrack real quick. Now, the NBA is fixed, right? That's the story we were going with because LeBron was winning and people hated that shit. The NBA is fixed, right? So tell me why, if the NBA is so fixed, the LA Lakers are 12-30. The New York Knicks are 6-36. Those are two of the biggest cities in fucking America. Do you think it doesn't benefit the NBA to have those teams be at least competitive?
You know what I'm saying? You really think fucking having the Golden State Warriors up at top at 33-6 it benefits the NBA as a whole when the Lakers are such an enormous fucking merch seller? You know what I'm saying? And the New York Knicks are going to be 6-36. I mean, that to me doesn't make a whole shitload of sense. So, I mean, maybe it's not so fixed. You know? I mean, Cleveland's not doing terrible at this point, but they're not, you know, ruling the world. And now you just don't hear as much about this NBA being fixed shit. LeBron's fucking winning. The Heat are on a roll. And then they're like, oh, fucking, what the fuck? Oh, it's fixed. Oh, the refs are, it's you know. People don't like to fucking take a loss. Nobody wants to take a loss in life anymore. They fucking, something goes on with the Patriots. Oh, this is bullshit. Next thing you know, the balls are all, they're all deflated. And that's easier to throw the ball in the cold and the rain and, okay, well, how come the fucking ref handles the goddamn ball every time, every down, every single down, the ref handles the ball before he hands it back, puts it back on the fucking field for the offense to handle again? No one notices. The whole game goes over, and then we go, oh, fuck those guys, because that was bullshit cheating, motherfuckers. Hold on. Why, first off, I don't even know why the teams get their own balls and all this bullshit and get to do what they got to do with them, because, like in baseball, as far as I know, the officials handle the fucking balls. Might I also add, this whole ball scandal thing has led to some of the most homosexual-sounding conversations about balls that I've ever heard in the sports world. It really has. It's nonstop talk about deflated balls and whose balls felt better in the rain and, you know, well, you could catch the balls if it was in fucking, you know, 2-pound balls and fucking all this, you know, the air and the, I don't know, man. But thing is, you know, what the fuck, man? I don't understand why you're giving them to the players or, you know, the sidelines if it's something that could be easily regulated. They do all this shit where they got to take them out of a package before the game to make sure that everything's legit there, and then they just hand them to the sideline and go, well, okay, I guess that's all good. I don't understand. And if the refs are handling the balls all day, the least it could be is, like, give it a little fucking squeeze, and if the shit feels fucked up, you throw it to the sideline, hey, throw some air in this bitch. And the story. I don't understand how you play a whole game and then go, the whole game was fucked up because the balls were all fucked up. 11 out of 12, fucking 2 pounds short on air. What? How the fuck do you let a whole game happen and then pull that shit out? Just like the same shit. Fucking baseball. These guys are jacked out of their fucking brains. You got Mark McGwire looking like a fucking comic book character, fucking jacking home runs out of the building, like, not even in the seats, into the fucking lake that's behind the fucking stadium. And you're like, well, it's good for business. And then fucking the season ends, and they're like, wait a minute, that guy was on steroids. Like, you fucking think, dude? You looked at this guy every fucking day, and it was like, well, this is normal. Oh, my God, he's hitting the ball into other states. And you're like, oh, everything's cool. And then fucking the dust settles, and you're like, was that guy on steroids? Wait a minute. Let's talk to the guys in the locker room. Let's see if we can find his personal trainer. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. If you let that shit fly for the duration of the game, let's be all fucking done with it, all right? And if a team gets fucking buried by air, by sea, by fucking land, these motherfuckers were getting buried in the running game. These motherfuckers were getting buried in the passing game. These motherfuckers were getting buried on defense. So we're going to turn around and call the whole game bullshit because the passing game might have been improved by the balls being deflated or say, this is bullshit. I've had enough. All right? Patriots were a better fucking team, and they stomped shit out of the Colts. Enough said. All right? Fucking, you want something different about the balls? Fucking blame it on the goddamn officials. Have the fucking officials keeping track of the shit that goes on. Just like
they do with every fucking thing else. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like saying, well, we're going to let the sideline guys, you know, we're going to let the Patriots measure all their own first downs, and then we'll see if it comes up short at the end. We'll be like, wait a minute, they cut links off that chain. Now that there was only 9 yards every time they got a first. Now, why the fuck would you send them home with the chains? You know what I mean? Like, this is the type of shit. And I know they didn't send them home with the ball. I'm just saying, for instance, that's the type of shit they're doing. They're, like, putting it in their hands and then go, wait a minute. Like, they didn't ever have to do that dumb shit. It's like they want diversity. They want some more shit to talk about after the game happens, because otherwise the game's over. And then what do? It's just they don't want to hear that Tom Brady's one of the top quarterbacks of all time. They don't want to hear that shit. They don't fucking like that dude. Majority of fucking people don't like that fucking dude. I don't give a fuck. I'm a Tom Brady dude. You know what I mean? That motherfucker worshipped Joe Montana growing up, 49er fan, the whole shit. That's why, you know, one of obviously a couple of reasons. But I want that dude to win the fucking bowl. And he's going to, whether you motherfuckers like it or not. Another thing that pissed me off is I wake up fucking Monday morning now, and now it's like, oh, another controversy comes out of the championship games. The Seahawks tweeted something on Martin Luther King Day, and then they deleted it, and I'm like, oh, boy. Now, I hate the fucking Seahawks. So I'm sitting here waiting. I'm waiting to hear some shit. Like, they tweeted, like, Richard Sherman is the Martin Luther King of football. I want them to be saying some ignorant shit. I want people to hate the Seahawks like I hate the Seahawks. So I'm like, what did they say? What did they fucking say? Make it good, yeah. Make it like, you know, Marshawn Lynch is more inspirational than Martin Luther King. Like, give me something, you know what I mean? Like, give me fucking something that these people could just fucking hate the Seahawks like I do. And they're like, oh, well, you know, they quoted one of Martin Luther King's, statements, but then they said, like, you know, we will overcome, but, you know, they were saying it about football, so they apologized and they took it down because, you know, that's not right that they used one of his, you know, profound quotes and related it to football, so that's not right. So we apologized and we took it. Get the fuck out of here with this sensitive bullshit, man. Someone says something profound, I don't give a fuck what you apply it to. That's what the fuck was being done right there. I hate to have to defend these motherfuckers, but they did nothing wrong. They did nothing fucking wrong. I don't give a fuck what you're applying it to. If someone says some profound shit and on a day where that person is being honored, you quote his shit for any reason, and it wasn't being said, you know, comedically or in jest. It wasn't being said, like, fucked up. It was like, hey, man, you know, we're going to be inspired by what this dude said on what we're doing. And then that's what I think inspiration is supposed to do. You don't have to be part of, you know, a movement to, you know, fight for racial equality in order to be using someone's inspirational quotes that was derived from that for your own motivation. That's crazy. You use somebody's inspirational quotes for your own motivation to be inspired. You know what I mean? Be inspired by shit that's inspirational. I know that just sounds redundant and simple, but it is. It's that fucking simple. People shouldn't be fucking apologizing for being inspired by some shit. I understand that, you know, what Martin Luther King was doing was on a much larger scale than what the Seahawks are doing by leaps and fucking bounds. Football and, you know, and all that have zero to do with each other. But to take an inspirational quote and apply it to whatever you're doing, I don't think it's offensive. Why the fuck does everybody have to apologize for fucking everything? Everybody's running around apologizing and trying to be PC and trying to be fucking, oh man, I'm just so sorry if I offended, oh, with this and that, oh, we're still worried about,
you know, whether we're saying now we're worried about saying fag and retard and, you know, every fucking word has to have an apology or a disclaimer added to it. Now every word's offensive, and you know what, like, this is what it is. Like they say, words are weapons. Words can be weapons. But like no other weapon, the person that weapon is being used against can completely render that weapon useless. Like if someone was holding a gun to your fucking face, and just by thinking differently about that gun, you could turn that shit into a marshmallow. That's what the fuck words are. If motherfuckers stop being offended by a million words, every fucking word out there, whether it's racially offensive, whether it's, considered a gay slur or whatever the case is, if everybody out there decided that shit don't bother me and I'm not even going to react to it as if it does, it just fucking completely flows off. You don't react to any of it. It's fucking hard. It loses every bit of power it has. Every fucking bit of power it has. Everybody wants to run around and you know, I'm all for freedom of speech. But, you know, if you're a white guy and you say nigga because you hear it in a rap song and someone beats you up, well, you get what you deserve. Really? Because, I mean, I just feel like, you know, while that may be true, a lot of that shit is true. For people to still run around holding up that fucking stereotype, you're giving the word fucking power that you hate so much. You really hate the fucking word so much that you decided to continue to give this shit power. Instead of letting that shit die, because if nobody gave that shit any credibility, it wouldn't have any. It wouldn't have any. And that's just one example, but that's like one of the most infamous words that is still so powerful and everything. It's just, it's all bullshit. It's all fucking bullshit. You know, people punch a lot of holes in fucking in sheetrock walls because they know when their fist hits that shit, no matter how mad they are. They know when their fist. People punch a lot of holes in hollow core doors because they know when their fist hits that shit, some damage is going to be done. People don't do too much punching brick walls. You get your occasional drunk motherfucker that breaks his hand on some dumb shit like that. But there's a lot less people taking swings at bricks than there are sheetrock because they know that what they're swinging at is going to make a fucking dent. And if they knew what the fuck they were about to say wouldn't make a dent in your fucking day, your minute, it wouldn't even phase you, swing your mood in one direction or another, words powerless, completely fucking powerless. And that reflects so much different things out there, but we're now giving more words, more meanings, more jokes, more this, more that, more power, more negative fucking power, because everything's becoming taboo. Every fucking thing. Oh my God, everyone's offended now. That makes shit worse, because now there's all these things that you can't fucking say. There's every fucking thing is taboo. Everything is something you shouldn't say. Don't step on that toes. Oh shit. Now this comedian has to apologize. Now this guy has to apologize. This guy said something. He's got to apologize. Fuck this bullshit. You know what I mean? It's so irritating that this is what the fucking world has come to. And, there was more sensitive times where they edited more, they censored more, they did all these things more on television. They censored more on radio. They censored more on every fucking thing. But people in groups and things of that nature are personally censoring things more so than the media ever could, because they're giving these words, these statements, these things more power and making them more taboo and outlaw and different things, not even legally. I mean, and different legalities are passing as well, but, they're giving it more power on a social level than it ever had. And that shit is crazy. It's disgusting to me. Motherfuckers need to get their shit together. I think Royal Rumble's this weekend, but I don't know shit about it. I'm going to watch it, and I'll review it next week. But I haven't watched WWE TV in, like, fucking weeks. Seriously.
And Gotham has been off the fucking chain. Came back 2 weeks ago or something. They took a week off in between, which drove me fucking bananas because it was finally back off of their fall hiatus or whatever they call it, winter break. And they came back on fire, fucking great episode. Took a week off. This fucking episode coming back was fucking crazy. They got the mob shit is going down. You know, they had a whole fish. She was going to be taking over the big boss, and she's been plotting on this motherfucker for a minute. And the way that they had it set up, that shit could have went on for seasons without her really getting caught on to. And you really got that feeling like she was going to end up getting this dude killed one way or another. She was going to keep growing and gaining power and this and this. And then, boom, all at once, bam, her whole shit is found out. Plot is foiled, and now the big boss is onto her shit and got her on lock. So now, like, just the twists and turns that this shit keeps taking is fucking bananas. It's a great show. Definitely recommend it. You know, it's still early enough that you could go back, binge watch that shit, and you'd be on point with it. And it's really, like, you know, it's got the different things to link back to the Batman story and stuff like that, but it's so much deeper than that that you don't even got to be in the Batman to get into this shit. I think it's fucking crazy. Let me see. You know, let me take a break, come back, and talk about something else. Quick. Shit. I know how to track right here. God damn it. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Let a cop on this bitch, bro.
Nickel. I'm sorry for the fucking wait. Was busy racing Ferraris with a Regine. That's gangsta. You know I always come in second place. You hatin', it's written all over your fucking bitch. You jealous? Woo. And I was right. Yeah. Bitch, you jealous? Stunt on you. Stunt. Shit, nigga, don't lie. Tell for a nigga, bitch, you jealous. I'm sorry for the wait, apologetic. Yeah, bitch, you jealous. Now give us our cash or our credit. Pop. Sorry for the riding around like Pablo. Still talking that Blanco. My Nina sang soprano, so we gon' leave on a high note. Come out my shell like Raphael and crack yours like a taco. Lil Wayne tougher than John Wayne, make him change his name to John Doe. It's me and my little brother Capo, Lil Marley G and my bottom bitch. If I'm falling, it's bottomless. If I'm tripping, it's a power trip. Her pearl tongue like the pearly gates. And with that said, I climb the fence. My other bitches gotta ride the bench. And with that said, bitch, you jealous. I fly like my dreadlocks propellers. I think I should hit like Coachella. My woman a queen like Coretta. And nigga, you sleep with the devil. I couldn't be junior forever. I don't mean to ruffle your feathers, but I had to spread my wings. Ain't tryna get lemon pepper. Got too many pistols, too many issues, too many mistakes, too many miscues. Only made me better. It turned me into the man I am today. I'm new and I'm improved. I got my shit right. It's just you and the tissue. Suit yourself because this suit is a rental. Now the snow is just coming in like I broke a window to an igloo. Slow a bitch down like un momento. I'd rather get screwed than scrutinized. I'd rather get used by a cutie pie. If she ain't fucking, it's Uber time. I'd rather be advised than supervised. You do the math. We do the numbers. We pour champagne and expensive wine and water guns and shoot each other. I get high, meditate like a monk. Preposterous when I get drunk. And my goons is wilder than Grunk. My dudes is as bad as my dunks. Met a kind of cute bitch with a dunk. As long as the bitch got a dunk. And I smell like pussy, money, and weed. She say, ooh, I like your cologne. The last niggas tested us flunk. So please start it hard, start it long. Kill your wife to take the bitch phone and text you the police, I'm at home. In the raindrops turning the blood, look like you just come in from a storm. And if all pussies come with walls, I hope you run into your own nickel. I come with that heroin flow, I come with that never before. My CMB days are dead, I ain't worried about ghosts. I married the mob, we divorced. And all that shit dead without me, of course. It's nothing, a zombie, a corpse. You burnt yourself and what's up?
searching my calendar for better days. I found them. You either turn the page or tear the page. YM, young money never age. Bitch, you jealous. Woo. And I was right. Yeah. Tell the fuck, nigga. Bitch, you jealous. Stunt on the stunt. Shit, nigga. Don't like. Yeah. Bitch, you jealous. I'm sorry for the wait. Apologetic. Hey. Bitch, you jealous. I give us our cash, our credit. Hey.
All right. The ZZW show is starting to look real good, this anniversary show. They book Jeez versus Dickinson title defense, man. That shit is going to be crazy. I'll get more into, you know, that whole show because, you know, we still got another week for that. So I'll talk more about that next week. It looks like they couldn't, you know, they're putting up promos and shit that that Niles is going crazy and shit, and you know, the trying to make him like he's going crazy, and I think that's like they're gonna try to face turn him, and I don't know how well it's gonna work out. Like I've always said, it really depends on what level they put him on. I mean, if the dude want to go fucking straight crazy and they want to have him doing some old Nick Mondo shit, then I mean, so be it. Let's not confuse that fucking weed whacker with Nick Mondo shit. But I'm just saying, like, if the dude wants to just start taking ridiculously crazy fucking bumps and getting over that way with the crowd, I don't know if that's what's planned or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, in general, he can get over face wise that way. I don't think he just goes out there using the skill set and the, you know, what he puts out there in the ring now acts a little nutty and the fans love him. I can't imagine that happening. I don't know if he got crazy because of the news thing or because, geez, you know, during the match, he told
see,
him,
I'm going to do that. I'm going to fuck your new girl.
You know, that was skillfully impersonated by the We Want Blood guys over there. So, you know, in case you didn't see the actual match, that's what he did. He grabbed the sign. He told Niles. He said,
"See, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna fuck your new girl."
You know, it pretty much verbatim. I mean, that was pretty much exactly how. So, but yeah. So I don't know what they're gonna do with that. I mean, we'll see. But the card is really shaping up. You know, they got Bucks in OI4K. They got G's in fucking Dickinson. They're doing a bunch of big shit on that show. It's going to be fucking good. I wish I could attend. I will definitely be watching on iPay-per-view, though. It's going to be fucking awesome. So we'll get more into that next week. What I do want to get into today, though, is this bullshit about GoFundMe. And the fundraising and all the nonsense that goes on with these fucking wrestlers. Shit has gotten way fucking out of control. And, I mean, I've seen this going back for a little while now. What it is, if anybody doesn't know what this is all about, is there is a fundraising page that's like GoFundMe. They have Kickstarter and all these different things. And, you know, a lot of people will do things like they're starting up an independent movie and, you know, they're going to raise funds for that. And, you know, people get movie credits for X amount donated, or they'll get free T-shirts when the movie launches and those type of things. So we'll have, or they'll have shit. I mean, they'll have someone who needs a fucking donated kidney and shit. And they're going to, you know, put up this page to try to raise money to get, you know, an operation or something extremely necessary. It's turned into a begging site, you know, a begging situation for professional wrestlers. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, these wrestlers, this is indie fucking wrestling. This is not something that should be considered your career. I mean, if you want to go out there and push and push and push and try to get yourself to the level of like a WWE thing, so you don't have to do anything else, then that's fine. That has been done for a long fucking time by guys who still had to work a normal, you know, during the week job and go and do the fucking traveling on the weekend. And, you know, and then make what they can out of themselves that way. And maybe some people had help, you know, financially through their family. Maybe, I mean, everybody's situation is different. But this new, like, begging for real life to be paid for while I try to chase some shit is garbage. And, you know, some of it I put my tongue on for a while because, I mean, I like a lot of these people. So to me, it's not even like a, like, hey, man, I can't stand these fucking people, so now I want to put them on blast. Like, I don't feel that way. But it's completely despicable. It really, really is. Couple I want to cover, and this is all brought up by the most recent one with Kimberly. But first I want to cover Masada. Masada had some major shit going on with his knee. He was going to have to take time off of wrestling. He was going to have to get a knee surgery. A knee surgery that he was putting off for a long fucking time. And GoFundMe page up. I don't remember fund-wise what exactly was raised. I know a shitload of money was raised. Money was fucking had. Never got the knee surgery. Just fucking took a little bit of time off. Went back into wrestling. So that's it. Fans got fucked. This is what it is, man. That was just the black and white of it. The Necro Butcher. Now, I think his ex had started this page for him, so this was something that was like, he didn't want this, this and this. This is our doing because we don't have the money and this and this. Now, granted, this is the same woman who later got her face beaten in for supposedly withholding that same money when Necro wanted it because that was supposedly his Disney World money. But again, all this GoFundMe shit was to pay for an injury that he had at the Juggalo shit where he cut his fucking leg open crazy. He did some kind of shit where he fucked himself up real bad on a chair and shit and cut himself bad. And but again, go fund this, go fund that. Money went nowhere near what people were trying to fund because, see, it all completely takes advantage of the fans' sympathy. And on an independent level, when these fans attend these shows, they get more of a, I know this person's feeling. You know, you'll talk to indie people, and believe me, you know, I attended for over 10 years straight, every single month, seeing these people month in and month out. They would know me in a second anytime they see me. You show up to a random other show, and some of these wrestlers will see you and go, oh, J-Cat, what the fuck are you doing here? These people become part of your life. You know, they become more friends than just someone who entertains you. They're someone who, you know, there's kind of an even exchange, you know what I mean? They know that you support what they're doing, and they appreciate that, and you appreciate them entertaining you. So now there's this mutual respect between the two of you, and there's a personal connection because, I mean, let's be honest. When it comes down to these independent wrestlers, a lot of them are like the same fucking age, so they're more or less peers. You're in your fucking 20s, they're in their fucking 20s. And then it's like, you know, that mutual respect, and now you're just talking to another motherfucker that's around your age for the most part, you know? I mean, some are older, younger, whatever the case is, but you see what I mean? There's more of a connection. It's not that larger-than-life personality that's on TV that is so above and beyond what you are or what you're dealing with. You know what I mean? And you get into normal personal conversations like you would any other person in life. It's like, hey, what do you do? Oh, I, you know, I'm a fucking steel worker and shit. And then, oh, what do you do? Well, I work for this and this and this. They just happen to be wrestlers that's doing something. So when you're talking to them, it's like two different people that work for different things or whatever the case is. And, I mean, maybe the fans just get the money from their parents and, you know, give it to the wrestler. Whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's on so much more of a personal level that you actually have an emotional tie to this person. If that person gets hurt, it's not just like, fuck, man, hope they replace him with someone good. A lot of times you're like, man, fuck, what, you know, what hospital did they take him to? You know, I want to send flowers or, you know what I mean? These people go out of their way to care about the wrestlers. And you'll see fans that they're bringing shit for the fucking wrestler's birthday because now they know the wrestler's birthday. They're, you know what I mean? They go above and beyond. They care about these fucking people. Now, when you take advantage of the fans, that not only are you going to sell them T-shirts, not only are you going to sell them 8x10s, not only are you going to, you know, sell them entrance to the shows and shoot interviews, and they're going to buy DVDs of you all over the fucking place and other feds they never heard of, but they're buying that DVD to support your career and your best of and your this and your that. And they're getting your fucking the word out about how, you know, helping promote your career, which is all free promotion, just off of, you know, hearsay, not hearsay, but, you know, word of mouth to help promote. And you know, it's like you're, a lot of these fans become like road agents for you because they keep telling other people, you need to book this guy. You need to go so far, but to go even further than that and say, I need your money because I need a surgery. Take all these fucking people's money, and they go, I'm going to skip on the surgery. It's nice to have all this extra money, though. It's fucked up. It's real fucked up. And then, you know, there's other situations. Matt Tremont, great dude. One of the nicest fucking dudes I have ever met in wrestling. I mean, that dude, he's just a great fucking dude. They had a situation go on where they had some money stole from them, a couple grand, something like that. They had no money to pay the rent. They became supposedly homeless, as it was said. Raised a bunch of money. And, you know, it is what it is, but it's like these fucking guys, there's nothing wrong with this 20-something-year-old man to go get a motherfucking job. I mean, there's a good chance skipping the wrestling bookings and just getting a fucking job for the weekends would make you more money than your wrestling bookings, especially when you're a deathmatch worker and you're fucking driving halfway across the country to work a deathmatch, which is going to cause possibly another injury that you don't have insurance to pay for. But you're asking for the fans to pay. I mean, for what it is in the long run, it's nothing to pay for your actual life and your upkeep. So for fans to have to go out there and put that out to support your life because you decide not to, I think is really, really selfish. And then you got to wonder, you know, what is the end game? What is the game plan when this shit is over? When deathmatch wrestling is over, what's going to go on? I mean, are we just going to, because obviously there's no retirement plan in deathmatch wrestling, you know what I'm saying? And then within, you know, within a month or two of all this money being collected, you could see posts by the, you know, the girl on there changing the hair color, doing this and this. And it's just, it's disrespectful. It really is. And like I said, I don't dislike these people. This isn't a situation where I just want to say something fucked up and they're giving me a reason. I'm just saying that it's fucked up because you're going above and beyond asking people to do something that's not normal. It's not fucking normal for a young adult to walk in and be like, give me money because I don't have rent. I mean, that's the shit that motherfucking bums are doing. And then let's take this on a grand scale, too, because if wrestlers are expecting to one day make it big and make enough money where this is their career and they have, you know, they don't have to worry about a quote-unquote shoot job, well, what fucking big-time WWE employer is going to take someone serious who had a past history of online fucking peddling for money? Do you think they're going to look back and be like, oh, was that you begging for $100,000 on fucking on the computer a little bit ago? Because, like, we're going to put you on TV now and try to present you as a superstar? What? Now, this is obviously not the, you know, Tremont thing. I'm, you know, that I said, you know, what I said about that. But Kimberly, before Kimberly, PWS. PWS is a fucking company that played themselves high and mighty, make a shitload of their money off of vendors and, you know, bring in a lot of names off of vendors. They fill a lot of houses off of fucking ticket sellers, the fucking students that sell fucking tickets and pack those fucking houses, and then fucking turn around and play high and mighty to people like me. And when I had them on my show, and after attending one of their shows, they had a ring entrance collapse almost on a wrestler. They had the ring had a fucking hole in it where one of the boards gave way before the fucking match, and they had the great mood of running around in a ring with a fucking gaping hole under the fucking canvas that he could have broke his fucking ankle in. They had no ring steps. They had no guardrails, but they had like a chain that was held up by this flimsy-ass pole, and the pole was held up by a bitch's purse, like I seen the shit. And when I brought all these things up to the motherfuckers on my show, they're like, oh, big fucking deal. So what? We didn't have ring stuff. Big fucking deal. I guess that's a huge fucking deal. I guess it doesn't matter how great our shows are, which they're not. And yeah, how great the fucking shows are because we don't have ring steps. So what do they do? What do they do just fucking recently? They put up a GoFundMe so they could pay for fucking ring steps and entrances and all the different fucking things that I had said was a big fucking deal if they wanted to be taken seriously a couple years ago. So now all of a sudden, who's the jerk off? Because now they're begging fans to pay for the same shit that I just happened to say, and I didn't say, hey, you guys are fucking dickheads for this. I'm like, hey, you know, this kind of shit looks kind of unprofessional. I mean, you have no ring steps. You had your fucking ring announcer climbing on a folding chair to get into the ring. Like, you don't think that looks bad? No, not everybody has ring steps. So wow, why are you GoFundMe shit for fucking steps to get into the goddamn ring to look more professional? That's weird because you had someone attend the show and say, hey, you know, guys would look a lot more professional if you did this, and you called them an asshole and you treated them like a dickhead over the same fucking things that you later on are begging fucking fans to pay for. Just seems odd. So anyway, Kimberly, she had put up a GoFundMe the other day, and it was for $100,000. This is the biggest amount I've ever seen a wrestler put up. She wanted $100,000, and obviously not all at once. I mean, I'm sure she would take it if you gave it to her, but and this is the same thing, and it, you know, it's going off as thing helps. She had student loans, $100,000 in student loans. And she wants to still be able to, you know, continue to pursue her dream in professional wrestling. So if you can help pay for her student loans for, obviously, the school that she wasn't going to for professional wrestling, that would help her or allow her to, I would hope it would be more than help if she ended up with $100,000, to pay for her student loans so she continued to do wrestling. So let me get this right. Now, when you need money, when you're in dire need of something, you're putting out the statement that you're doing all you can, right? Is that that's the general statement, right? Like, if you're saying, like, I need money, if you can help me, if you can give me money, I'd really appreciate that because, like, I've done everything I can with what I have. That's what I take it as. That's what I take it as if someone's saying that they need money. They're in such debt that they need other people to help pay their debts because they personally are doing everything they can with what they have, right? That's what I take it as. But when you turn around and then look at luxurious things being done, it's a slap in the fucking face because she just got back from – and, hey, man, I think it's awesome. She just got back from running the Walt Disney World Marathon. And that, you know, that cost a couple hundred in registration, like 100, 175, 200, depending on when you sign up. If you sign up early, I think you get in under 200. If you sign up, you know, closer to the deal, you know, more around 200. And, you know, I mean, I do a lot of obstacle races and shit. And I know they're expensive. But, I mean, just to even put yourself up in Florida for a certain amount of time for Disney World and shit like this, that shit is fucking expensive. Real fucking expensive. And that's all luxury shit. So, again, it's to me, it comes off as I'm not doing everything I can with my money to pay off my debts. I want to run around and have fun and luxury with my money, but I want you to spend your money to pay for the shit that's not fun to me that I owe. So I want you to pay your hard-earned money so I don't have to use my money for anything but my own enjoyment. And it, to me, that's just like a real immature way to live. That's not like an adult, grown-up way to live, to ask other people to pay for the shit that you've accumulated that you owe. And then you still get to play with the money that you have. I don't think that that's a very respectful way to treat your bank. And you saw very soon after, and by the way, like I said, I think it's absolutely awesome that she ran that. Congratulations to her for running the fucking marathon. I think that's fucking awesome. I you know, amongst all like my different, you know, fitness stuff that I've been doing, I'm not a runner, man. I'm a runner by I started being a runner 2 years ago, I guess you call it. But I'm not like a runner's runner. But doing, you know, running as part of all these obstacle courses and shit and running 12 miles and all that these courses are, one of the things that I do want to eventually do, just to say that I've done it, is a marathon. And I've looked like, well, the New York City Marathon's a big deal. The Boston Marathon's a big deal. I guess, you know, it's going to have to be one of those. But honestly, I'm not a New York guy. I'm a Jersey dude. I'm not like a New York pride guy. I really don't give a fuck about New York. And, you know, no offense to people who take that, but I don't give a fuck about any of the big cities as far as taking pride in, like, yeah, I did it in New York. Like, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a fuck about the Yankees or the Mets or, anything in Boston or whatever. Whoever lives there, fine. You got pride in it. That's fine. That's your deal. But it's not me. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to be like, greatest city in the world. I'm running. I don't give a fuck. But something like Disney, that shit sounds cool as fuck to me because, number one, it's Florida, and I love the fucking heat. Number two, you got fucking Mickey Mouse fucking for that shit. Like, that's some cooler shit that I'd like to have on my wall rather than a fucking Statue of Liberty or something. I'd rather have a Mickey Mouse medal and shit, you know? That, I don't know, just appeals more to me. So to me, that's cool as fucking. I didn't even know they did anything like that until I saw Kimberly's thing, and I'm like, oh, cool, I want to do that. You know, and even talking, like, and just mentioning it, like, to my girl, and hey, she's like, oh, cool, because, you know, fucking mention something to them about Disney, you're like, oh, cool, you know, so when are we going? Like, next year, you want to, like, tax return, this and this? And I'm like, whoa, we're not doing this anytime soon, you know? Because this is what it comes down to. It becomes, I work fucking 6 days a week. For me to talk about even going to fucking Disney, I got to, hey, not next year. No, not yet. And we're talking about that type of shit. So, I mean, if you have the amount of money to just be able to, boom, go do your thing over there in Disney and have a, I envy that. You know what I mean? That's good. And I'm not like, you know, I'm mad at you because you could do that or I'm jealous in that level. No. I'm glad you're able to do that, and I hope one day that I'm also going to be able to do that, and I will. But to see people doing that while also wanting other people to pay for their debts, it's just, I don't know, that shit is just not right to me. But it is what it is, you know what I mean? If people are willing to pay for it, that's on them. It's not going to be me coming out of my pocket no matter who on the independent wrestling scene asks for money. I can only comment on it because I feel the way I feel just seeing it from an outsider's perspective. That's all it is. Like I said, I like these people. I, you know, from what I see for them, you know, Tremont I think is a fantastic dude. Kimberly's always been extremely nice. I mean, she came on my show. She was very nice. She's always been very entertaining in the ring. I don't know anything about her other than, you know, what she's put out there. And I have no issue, you know, with the girl. I hate PWS. I think those people are cocksuckers. I hope they get hit by buses. But, you know, besides that, like the other people who have done these different things, I don't really, you know, I don't have any issue with them. I'm just speaking on the situation. And I also saw that Mia Yim had even posted something on her, I think, Twitter or something saying, like, hey, you know, fucking love you and everything, but, like, you're better than this, like, fucking. And the next thing you know, Kimberly took the whole fucking thing down. So apparently maybe she thought better of it. But I just wish wrestlers out there would fucking, you know, talk to all your fucking friends and try to help them have the fucking self-pride not to get into this shit, not to lower their fucking self-respect to this level to be doing this type of stuff. Shame your fucking friends. If your friend's like, man, I'm thinking about putting up one of them fucking GoFundMes and shit because my fucking rent's due. Nah, my car insurance is coming up on the 20th, and I don't think I got it. I think I'm going to have the fans pay that shit. As a good friend, be like, get the fuck out. You better take another fucking shift at wherever you're working at, you know. Do something to make these people fucking look at life realistically. Because, again, if you have higher aspirations of being somewhere better, and on your resume is, oh, yeah, I also begged on the internet for money in 2015 or 2013 or whatever the case is, I don't think that shit looks like a good point on your resume, number one. Number two, to even walk around in the indies and try to portray yourself as a character that, you know, got some confidence or got some arrogance or got some lit. You couldn't blow the fucking kayfabe out of your character any more than begging a fan for fucking money. You really couldn't. You can't strut the fuck through that curtain and have any fan that gave you fucking $100 to pay a bill. You can't pull the wool over anybody's fucking eyes to think that you got shit on lock. You're running the world. You're taking over, but you need my money because you can't pay your fucking bills. You're fucking talking about killing kayfabe. Motherfuckers is worried about real dumb shit. Talking about killing kayfabe. We're talking about you're begging for money to live and then trying to walk around, you know, and try to portray some kind of persona, some kind of on-screen or on-show persona. It's fucking bananas. It's absolutely fucking bananas. And I don't respect it. I really don't. Not that I need to or not that anyone needs my respect or anything like that, but I think that's a pretty pretty widespread feeling on the way people are seeing this shit. And I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because the shit is it's crazy. The shit is not cute at all. It's disrespectful to the fans, you know? And again, not to me, because shit, I ain't giving you nothing. I'm the one who's supporting you and, you know, by buying a ticket or an iPay-per-view or maybe a shoot interview or a T-shirt here. Now, I don't do the T-shirts as much anymore. I got too many T-shirts, but I have a lot over the years. And that's why I have too many T-shirts, one of the reasons. So, you know what I mean? And I like the people who I support, and I like to have the people who entertain me to have a little more respect for themselves than putting themselves out there like that. It's shitty, man. Even when you try to, you know, tell somebody who's not a wrestling fan that you're a wrestling fan, they tend to want to look down at wrestling as a whole. And it is what it is, man. Do your own thing. Who gives a fuck who thinks what about your entertainment? But then to have the people who are entertaining you turn around and begging, it's like, aren't you one of them wrestling fans? Shit, I saw a wrestler online begging for money the other day. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm into.
that's my thing. Yep, that's me. I like those guys. And it's just, I don't know.
Enough is enough. I gotta, you know.
I had to say something about it. At least I felt I wanted to. And, you know, just have some respect for yourself out there, guys. That's about all I got. So anyway, Wrestling Soup did a show last night, I think. I think they're doing another show tomorrow night. They're doing some kind of Saturday. They're on, like, every night of the fucking week, so check them out. Check out the Sports Den is on tonight. I'm sure they're talking about all the footballs being deflated and all that. Chef Dube over there, he's a Patriots fan, so I'm sure he's got a lot to say. And, you know, the whole deal going on with all this stuff. Check out, I don't know what's going on with a buddy over there at Stern Nation. I know, you know, they had a show a week or two ago, things, because they were off for a while. And, I would just say go check out the archives over there at Stern Nation. You can go, you know, link up with them off their Facebook page. And, you know, they got a lot of archives. You can catch up on old Howard Stern stuff and the banter between, you know, Andrew and Stephanie. You know, they do a great show. So you can check them out, all their old shows, and, you know, keep tuned in for their future stuff. I think that's about all I got. Been listening to the Artie Quitter podcast. It's good fucking stuff. Definitely check that out if I were you. Another podcast that I think is good is My Wife Hates Me, it's called. It's Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane, or she's Bonnie Voss, but she still goes by Bonnie McFarlane. They got, like, a fantastic, hilarious banter between them of, you know, just going back and forth and just fucking bickering and arguing and fighting with each other. They're both comedians, so... But it's just a great dynamic. So, you know, you want some more funny shit to listen to, check that out. The Artie Quitter podcast is like a paid podcast. They're expanding the network so you get more for, you know, the payment. I'm not paying for it, but, you know, that's a good podcast. And, you know, it's Artie being Artie. If you know Artie Lang, that's exactly what you're getting. And what else? I just started listening to the Brilliant Idiots. That's funny shit, too. I only listened to, like, the best of 2014, and it sounds awesome. I got a bunch of them loaded up on my iPod. I'm actually behind on a bunch of podcasts. I got a whole bunch of stuff on my iPod. I think I'm behind, like, two Stern shows from this week, too. So I got a bunch to listen to, but yeah, I always just like throwing a few out there. If you did, you know, you do want something to listen to, cool, man, because you could load a bunch of this great fucking entertainment on your iPod. You always got something new to listen to, and for the most part, it's all fucking free. So and you know, it's all new. You know, some of the best comedians out there. Bill Burr does his weekly podcast. Carolla does his great podcast. And, you know, you can just load those fucking things up every week. You got new ones, and, yeah, it's fucking on the move. Whether you're running around, you got a fucking earbud in at work, driving in the car, tons of shit to listen to. And you can check out the We Want Blood podcast over there, too. I'd like to thank them for giving me a shout-out last week, and right back at you. So check everybody out. Check me out. And fucking check me out next Wednesday. I think that's about all I got. I think that's about all I got. I'll be reviewing Royal Rumble, previewing CZW's anniversary show next week, because I think that's the last show before the thing. Maybe not. Maybe I got a fucking 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm all out of whack on the wrestling. But definitely be talking about some Royal Rumble next week and, you know, see what else I got from there. So I'll check you motherfuckers out. Peace.
Woo! From this cold country today.